You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A Lansing-based video game company is putting the final touches on a video game that got a big helping hand from an MSU computer science expert. The game is called Toibor, which means I will defend in Latin. Scott Reschke has been laboring over this game for a lot of years, so it's a big moment for him to see this work come to fruition. Scott Reschke is the CEO of Strength in Numbers Studios in Lansing. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start with the name of this game. We say Toibor, T-U-E-B-O-R, which features a nod to the state of Michigan. In what way?
It's on the seal of the state of Michigan. It actually, that was where I found it. I was with my little girl at the Capitol building, and we were just walking around, and the game was originally named Rise or Fall Legends. And, you know, it's kind of hokey. It's kind of cheesy, gamey sound, and I never really liked it, but I didn't have anything better. And we were just checking out the Capitol building, and I saw the seal. It's on all the windows everywhere, and it's right in front of me. And I was like, I wonder what that means. And so I popped out the smartphone and looked it up, and I was like, I will defend. Wow, that's really cool. That's going to work really well for the game because the game is a lot of cooperative action. There's stuff player versus player where you're defending bases. There's players working together to defend facilities. And so the whole sense of it worked nicely together. And given that we're in the state of Michigan and through this whole process of raising money and opening the company, everybody said, you need to leave. You got to go out west. You got to go to Boston. You got to go to New York. You got to go to Chicago. You got to go to L.A. or Seattle or San Francisco. And so I thought, you know what? I'm staying here. So the I will defend isn't just about the game. It's about the whole sense of we have to stop the brain drain, the talent drain of the state. And so it all rolled together. Yeah,
a lot of levels to that. And you also have another hint of the Michigan roots. I see there's a level called New Detroit.
Yeah. So the story takes place in the year 7235 Common Era. Thousands of years have passed. There's been warfare. There's been, disease and famine and then the rebuilding of society time and time again. But through it all, kind of the spirit of Detroit, not just the statue, but the whole spirit of Detroit is about persevering. It's about surviving. It's about rebuilding. It's about being something more than just a place. And so New Detroit is a city that was ripped from the ground and it floats in the sky using science-y term of zero-point energy, where it just kind of hovers in the sky. And that's where all of the technology comes from in the game. So New Detroit itself is featured as a level in the game where the players get to run around. It's kind of a capture the flag one. But we took the spirit of Detroit and the statue and then the fist, and we turn them into holograms that you can run around through and in and see. And, you know, we really wanted to pay an homage to the city and the state because of, you know, this is where we're making our stand.
Rising from the ashes.
Rising from the ashes.
Where did this idea come from? Because you really have been laboring this for quite a long time.
A long time. Longer than I would have liked. But, it's all coming together now. I owned a cyber cafe in East Lansing for about eight and a half years. And at the cyber cafe, we had systems set up, about 60 computers, and people would come in, pay by the hour to play video games there. And it was really great. It was a wonderful social experiment because you had a lot of teenagers and 20-somethings who couldn't go to the bar or didn't want to, or, you know, their favorite hobby was video games. And so they would come there, and it was a wonderful experience because you'd see a lot of people who had never, ever met each other before, and they would just start talking to other people with these common interests, and they'd sit and they'd play, and then 2 weeks later, they're best friends and they're scheduling time. Well, over those years, I'd been keeping track of why do people play these games, and why do they leave their favorite game to go play a new one, and, you know, what are those things that they really hate and really love, and I had the games installed on the computers that people wanted to come in to pay to play. And then I realized over a few years, I was like, wow, I've got kind of a blueprint for a game. I know the things that are keeping them playing and then the things that drive them away. And so the whole concept behind this game is what's called end game content, meaning you don't necessarily have to spend 2 months to try and get to the best stuff, which is a lot of the case in many games, is you have to spend a lot of time before
you earn your way to
exactly. And for this, one of the things that we found that the gamers really loved is that endgame content. And so we thought, all right, we'll just chuck away all the rest and we'll just make all these different game modes where it would be as if you had spent those couple months leveling and earning that thing, but just giving it to you all up front. And so it's what's called cross-genre. You've got some elements from MMORPGs. You've got some elements from what are called MOBAs, battle arenas. You've got some RTS elements. You've got some first-person shooter elements. And we've blended it and we've tested it, and it's coming together really well. In theory, this game is something that anyone that has ever played a video game before should be able to easily jump in and understand. We're calling it an MMO Lite.
MMO Lite. And you have worked with actually someone who has been here on Stateside, Michigan State University Professor Aaron Hintz. working on artificial intelligence. So tell me, what has he helped you build into this game that sets it apart?
Well, that's kind of interesting. I mean, the way everything kind of flows together, I'd spent a lot of years networking, and I met him through his boss and through these different people. And it was just, at first, I was just talking to him to see if he would help me develop the game. I didn't have any idea of what he had done or who he was or anything like that. As far as I knew, he was just, not just, yes, but he was just a game developer that was teaching at MSU. Well, turns out he was quite a bit more than that. He was a computer science professor, associate professor, and he had been building, along with his boss, a artificial intelligence system that followed evolutionary design, or the kind of the concepts behind that, to where it learns through generations and the things that survive get to move to the next generation. Now, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but he's told me, you know, we've gone over it so many times, I feel like I've got a pretty decent grasp on it. So what this code is designed to do, it's really cool. It is, you set the intelligence and you give it these basic set of instructions of, you can move forward, you can turn, you can attack, you can do these core things, right? But we don't tell it move forward. We don't tell it attack. We just let it cycle through all these things. And then what we keep track of is they're called a fitness function. So we run a generation for, say, 10 minutes, and we see, did it do what we want? Meaning, did it get closer to the objective? Did it attack the other player? Did it attack the bad guy? And the ones that actually did the thing that we wanted, we take those genomes and we move it to the next generation. And so then you just keep doing that generation after generation until you actually have it where the machine has learned how to do the thing that you want. Very similar to evolution, where, you know, I asked him at one point to explain, how do we have flight? That makes no sense to me. How did something, it didn't just jump out of a tree and get feathers, you know? And he says, well, Scott, we believe it was where these very small life forms had these very fine hairs. And when they would jump, the ones that had the very fine hairs, a little gust of wind maybe had pushed them further out of the reach of the predator trying to eat them. And so then the next generation from that had a few more fine hairs, and then the next and the next, and then those hairs sprouted more hairs, and then it turns, you know, over millions of years you have feathers. And I was like, wow, that just blows my mind. And he says, so that's what we're trying to do with this artificial intelligence. I was in luck. He was very eager. He is a game developer. He loves doing that on the side, and he loved the idea of plopping this in so that way we could actually take their software and give it a practical application. And for us, typically in video games, what artificial intelligence does is they're called branch trees. And you say, all right, computer, you have these choices and you need to do them in this order. And you kind of check it all the time to see if it's something you should do.
Okay.
And the problem with that is it's very limited in terms of it only can do what you've told it to do.
So it gets predictable.
Yeah, very predictable. And what we're trying to accomplish with this is make NPCs, non-player characters, the bad guys, mm-hmm. or sometimes good guys if they're helping you, be able to learn over time through the players playing against them smarter behaviors and patterns to make a more dynamic game. Ideally, if we can prove this technology, we could, you know, license it to other game companies so that everybody can have this wonderful learning artificial intelligence.
Very fun. You know, the independent video game world, Scott, it's tough to break into. I don't need to tell you that. So competitive. And even with video games being as big as they are, why is it so challenging to secure funding?
Oh, golly. I have sung that song for a long time. So I started really trying to do this. I had closed my cyber cafe 2008, 2009. The recession just was murderous. I ended up spending about 2 years being a stay-at-home dad, finishing up my bachelor's degree, which I didn't think I was ever going to need. And, you know, life is funny that way. Over the time, I then started developing the product plan and putting down a business plan, and then I started trying to raise the money. Wow, was that difficult. Now, you hear all the time, Michigan has all these incentives, and you read in the news, and I'm sure, you know, there's been an endless amount of radio play about all the investment money that's been in the state in the last few years. And it's true. As long as you are in very certain fields, investors and angel investment groups, I've come to discover, unsurprisingly, invest in industries that they typically had participated in their careers at some point. And so there is a ton of automotive investment in this state. There's a ton of energy investment in this state. There's a ton of healthcare investment in this state. I went to all these different investment pitches and growth capital symposiums and all the angel investment groups. And
presented they have, that idea.
Yeah, and everybody was like, man, you've got this great business plan. You've got a good marketing plan. You've got a good this, this, and this. You know, you really know your product. Sorry, we don't invest in software, and sorry, we don't invest in video games. And the answer was, we just don't understand the industry. And so we don't take that risk.
And good luck to you.
And good luck. And, you know, and that was, again, a lot of times people said, that's why you've got to go out west, because
they get it.
They get software out there. Ann Arbor is a wonderful place for software. You've got a lot of app startups going on around here. Grand Rapids has been a wonderful place for app startups and software, but very more like software light. And it was just a challenging time pitching, you know, year after year. And then finally, I had borrowed some money from a family member, and I had basically burned through all of it over the course of about 14, 15 months. And I had $300 left in my bank account. Rent is coming up in 2 weeks, and car payment.
The wolves are at the door.
You know, when you're my age and you've got a kid, you've got to be a responsible adult.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, this is it. I tried. I really put myself out there, and it didn't work out. So I get a phone call from an investor, and it's somebody that told me no for years. He says, hey, Scott, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've got my resume up. He says, all right, things didn't go well. I said, well, $300 in the account, and it didn't work. He says, how much do you need? And I said, well, I need at least this amount. And he goes, all right, I'm in. And I'm just like, but you've told me no for years.
This is like an episode of Shark Tank.
Yeah. And he says, well, you know, we've talked about it a lot. It sounds like you know what you're doing and how to do it and how we can accomplish this. And he says, let's do this.
So suddenly you could delete that resume.
2 weeks later, I have got the studio opened up and I've started hiring people. And we ended up having at our peak about 33 people that were either local or contracted. The bulk of people were in Lansing. Then we just started hammering away at it and start building the product.
And you did get some money, a couple hundred thousand from the Michigan Film and Digital Media Office before they've pulled the funding.
Yep. That one was, I'd been trying for years during the networking to get in and discover what I needed to do. And originally the incentive, I don't know if I'm just was not getting it, but the way I thought it was is that as long as you had raised this money, they would give you this lump sum. And it turned out what the incentive was actually based off of your budget, they would give you an amount back after the product launched.
After you'd spent the money.
Yes. And it kind of changed how you use it, because at first we believed that it was money they'd give you up front to
like
build
seed
the
money.
Product.
Yeah.
And that changes how many people you can hire and what the scope of the product is. And instead it's, okay, now once it's done, once it's launched, then we will verify, you know, run an audit and give you the amount back. We're actually getting close to that stage.
So you're close to launching this game. How soon before people can go to the year 7235 and start defend, conquer, and survive against hordes of mutant cyborgs and ruthless artificial intelligence systems?
Well, they could actually right now. We do open testing. We've been doing that for a couple of weeks now. So if anybody wanted to play the game with us.
Where do you go to help test the game?
Our website for the game, which is tueborgame.com, TUEBOR game.com. Or Facebook.com/SinStudios. Either way, we do announcements all the time and give links for the download. We will be starting to distribute the game very soon, so that way we can get that incentive and we can keep building more and more and more of the product.
And finally, where will fans be able to play this Made in Michigan game?
PC is where we're going to launch on. We're just in the process of getting our Mac build finished. So PC, Mac, and Linux, it looks like. We have already gone through paperwork to be Microsoft and Sony developers, but there is still some more QA, QC stuff we have to do before we can get onto the PlayStation or the Xbox. Ideally, we'll have it on all of those platforms. It's just more of a time thing and total number of engineers. And our engineers that we've got are polishing, bug fixing, polishing, just to get it done on PC and Mac first. So first PC, Mac, Linux, after that, consoles.
You certainly parted the curtains and given us all quite a lesson in what you have to go through to launch a
it's
video
delightful.
Game.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with Tuebor, TUEBOR, I will defend. Scott Reschke, CEO of Strength in Numbers Studios, based in Lansing. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thanks for having me.